Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now.
Today's Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Bombas Premium Socks. Talking Simpsons listeners can go to getbombas.com/lasertime and get 20% off your first order.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, the official fan club of Suck Up the Vacuum. This is the Laser Time Podcast Network's official chronological exploration of The Simpsons. I am your host, Sideshow Bob Mackey. Who else is here with me today?
Christopher Antista.
The biggest cat in the whole wide world, Henry Gilbert.
And today's episode is Black Widower, and
it aired... MacGyver.
Every time I hear the word MacGyver, I just do that.
You hear
MacGyver.
Hank Azaria saying,
MacGyver.
Today's episode is Black Widower, which aired on April 9th, 1992. Chris, what happened on this mythical day in Simpsons history?
Oh my God! It looks as if Arthur Ashe reveals he has AIDS. Kinison is killed in a car accident. Bill Clinton has won the New York primary, but... setting records, Silence of the Lambs won Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Director, Best Adapted Screenplay as it sweeps the 64th Academy Awards.
Wow.
Ran this by Diana, and she says, yes, only two other films have achieved this height at the Oscars.
It's kind of interesting.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and it happened one night.
I feel like feel-good movies were dominating the Oscars until fairly recently. Like, Citizen Kane lost to, The Greatest Year, or, How Green Was My Valley, or something
that. Yeah.
But it was a turning point for the Oscars.
Yeah, this is a mean psychodrama of maybe murderers are okay if they're killing other murderers.
What if they're charismatic?
We should have a 30-20-10 about the original Hannibal Lecter movie coming up very soon. It came out 30 years ago. It's Manhunter, adapted from Red Dragon, and the world didn't know what that was. Yeah. Didn't care for it when it came out, and almost 10 years later, cared a lot for...
Who played Hannibal Lecter in that
Brian
movie?
Brian Cox.
Oh, man.
He was pretty good.
You mean Scrubsy?
Yeah, actually, there's this great fan edit I saw online of... because Manhunter Red Dragon has been adapted 3 times because the scene that they took the same scene from Manhunter, Red Dragon,
verbatim from the book,
and Hannibal, and showed how each of these guys played Hannibal Lecter in this specific scene, and it shows you their differences. It's really cool.
I just say Hannibal is so good.
Yeah. I can't believe it was canceled. It seemed to be on the
I can't
the zeitgeist.
Believe it was ever on the air.
Yeah,
if you see the kind of stuff they pulled
on NBC, less, right?
How many bodies did you sew together grotesque? In prime time on NBC? Jesus Christ.
And then meanwhile, Sam Kinison's passing, that reminds me of, I can't remember his name, but it was Sam Kinison's best buddy who was on the Mark Maron podcast, who's then his daughter, it turned out to actually be Sam Kinison's daughter instead.
Wow.
And he tells the story of being with Sam when he died.
It's horrible because he was a wreck, kind of a whirlwind of a person, and had just sobered up. And was hit by a drunk driver. It was not his fault.
God.
And
fate was taking him out.
Crazy.
Something like that. But yes.
Speaking of death.
I do want to mention Black Widower is also the name of a Sons of Anarchy episode, which caused some confusion when I was doing research. And it's weird because there's a Simpsons episode named I'm with Cupid and a King of the Hill episode named I'm with Cupid, and they're like 1 year apart. I'm like, you were both on Fox. Can't you at least like figure this out on your own?
Well, so this episode was has a co-story written credit by Thomas Chastain.
Yes.
Who was a member of like the American Mystery Society, because they really, they wanted to make this an actual mystery. They wanted to make this a mystery episode.
Yeah. I think they ran the mechanics of the mystery past him. And he died in 1994. I really want to read some of his books. I've gotten into mysteries lately. It seems interesting.
In hindsight, watching this episode where you know where it's going, and there's a couple scenes where you're like, why didn't the Simpsons make a joke here? And it's because it's exposition that'll pay off later to the mystery.
I mean, this is practice for the Who Shot Mr. Burns. Yeah. Like, that is a mystery that still...
Much better. Does it much
everything
better.
Works as a joke and as a clue. Mm-hmm. Then they wanted to win the Edgar Award for Mystery Writing, which is a yearly thing that gives... it's a yearly award named after Edgar Allan Poe, who wrote the first detective story, The Murders in the Rue Morgue. And they really...
The monkey did it. Just spoiler.
Yes. So they wanted to win the award.
The monkey with the razor blade.
They wanted to win the Edgar Award for television writing, and they did not win it. And then Mike Reiss jokes that if they saw how crappy and cheap the award looked beforehand, they would have realized they didn't want it anyway.
He said it looked like it should have been filled with bubble bath.
Exactly. Yeah. But the episode opens with...
Oh, my God.
I completely forgot this.
Such a time capsule.
Would you turn off that rock and rock music?
Hey, you don't have a stegosaurus, man.
These talking dinosaurs are more real than most real families on TV.
Look, Maggie, they have a baby, too.
It's like they saw our lives and put it right up on screen.
We both said now at the same time. I have some qualms about this.
No, me too.
Mommy, I'm home.
Just wanted to put on the dinosaurs theme to set the mood.
So the dinosaurs, the Jim Henson Productions ABC sitcom Dinosaurs, was a popular show, but a brief flash of popularity right around when The Simpsons came out, a year after The Simpsons. It was definitely in the shadow of The Simpsons.
It was 91, I think, or 90.
But when you watch it, It's Muppets, Al in the Family.
Yeah.
Like, they even got Sally Struthers to play the same
character.
It is
actually more absurd than The Simpsons.
I think it's more deeply satirical because there are, like, issue episodes. Like, I remember my parents laughing conspicuously at the marijuana episode, which gave me a lot of insight into my parents' previous lives.
I was just going to mention the drug episode. I watched... It was all on Netflix, and there's an episode where the baby grows a horn and becomes a god.
Yeah.
A more scathing... addressing of religion than The Simpsons had ever done.
I do remember
that point.
The grandmother had a life experience, a death experience.
Mm-hmm. She was supposed to die. She was taken to the tar pits to die.
And a preacher was then selling like tracts of land in heaven based on her near-death experience.
The show, it's very odd, but it does hold up well just because of how weird it looks.
Well, and they even during Operation Desert Storm, when nobody was mocking it on TV, they made a two-parter about what a pointless made-up war it was to distract people from things.
Yeah, and war stood for We Are Right, which is like, that is the most liberal message you could put on the show in that era.
Here's the reality behind it. Dinosaurs looked a lot like the ripoff of The Simpsons because The Simpsons are what got it on the air.
Exactly.
Jim Henson had tried to get the show on the air before, his idea being a family who is toxic to its own environment. Jim Henson, reputed hippie. And that was the basis for the show, and no one really wanted to do it until, like, what was that Jim Henson idea where the family hates one another and they're all dysfunctional? Now that The Simpsons is popular, let's put it on the air. And Dinosaurs was popular.
Yeah.
It was just incredibly expensive. And you can go back and look at it now and like, how the fuck did they do this 20 times a year?
And by the time it was over, it was like not popular.
They moved the time slot around so much.
Yeah, it moved the time slot around, but I also think people like got sick of the baby. Like, it was Urkelizing the baby too.
It was the voice of Elmo. Kevin
the baby
Clash
had its own song, I think. Yeah. Its own single.
I'm the baby.
I have it all right up there. Did you take a picture of it and tweet it recently?
I took a picture of Charlene and tweeted that. Chris Dantese has a Charlene Happy Meal toy.
It is the worst toy. Did you use it?
No. What does
it has
it
an air pressure gauge. It is the worst toy in the universe.
What is its action?
You push a thing in the back which moves air through a hose, creating a hydraulic system that moves a phone a half an inch closer to her face.
Oh, that's our Charlene.
Yeah, she loves the phone.
Okay, but so The Simpsons felt that they were being ripped off. Like, it felt like a lot from Mike Reese, too, because he's the guy who also on other ones is just like, they canceled the critic for King of the Hill, and Hank Hill is just Homer wearing glasses, which he isn't.
It's I don't get that commentary at all. But if I've ever met him in public, I'd ask him.
He's
very awkward.
He does seem slightly defensive on those things. And the same deal here, he says, like, it's the same show. Like, no, the Bart guy, the Bart character they make is Bart. On the show, he's a teenager. He's not Bart. He has teen problems, not 10-year-old
problems.
And
he's competent, smart, and an overachiever, as the daughter is a little ditzy, so not like Lisa. The only comparison they have, even slightly, is the Marge and Homer characters.
And they're both like
Earl and the character who is played by Lucille Bluth. Walter.
I don't think The Simpsons will be daring enough to kill every character on the last episode like Dinosaurs did.
Dinosaurs really, it really shut itself out from like a streaming revolution where it could be brought back.
So which Patreon tier is the Dinosaurs, Talking Dinosaurs?
That's only like 50
Like my buddy showed me in Orlando in Disney World when the lights go out just a certain way and one of the facades is still like baby, the baby dinosaur.
Really?
Hollywood Studios. It still has a little piece there to remember
That's
dinosaurs
beautiful.
By.
Okay, so after the dinosaurs
I
want to
talk more about dinosaurs.
That was our 10-minute dinosaur discussion.
But unlike a lot of episodes of The Simpsons, like that's the only like non-storyline joke happens, and it's over with in less than a minute.
So did you
it
notice?
Immediately happened, this immediately happens.
Now, kids, I know you're all excited about meeting Aunt Selma's new boyfriend tonight, but I think that before he gets here, I should tell you something about him. You see, Aunt Selma has this crazy obsession about not dying alone. So in desperation, she joined this prison pen pal program. Her new sweetie's a jailbird.
Cool. He can teach us how to kill a man with a lunch tray.
Now, he's an ex-convict. He's paid his debt to society. And how come you're not using the good silverware? I'm just not.
So did you notice in that section too they have a three dream bubbles things again in third episode in a row they've done it. They did it in Homer at the Bat, they did it the one with the separate vocations
and
when they took the
Wonder
test
Bat as well.
So this is the third time.
There's another third time in this episode too, we'll get to soon,
but and then so I was definitely, as a kid, shocked when it was Sideshow Bob. I did not think Sideshow Bob was coming.
I don't remember if that was in the promos when I saw it coming.
I'm sure it was in the commercials, but I didn't see the commercials for this one.
And just remember, at this point, it wasn't a tradition for Sideshow Bob to come back.
This was his second, his like fourth appearance, but his second voice.
As Kelsey Grammer, and here's a little clip of that.
Everyone, I'd like you to meet...
Sideshow Bob!
What the...
Selma, dear, I'm afraid the children's reaction is quite understandable. You see, Bart here is the Seamus in short pants who sent me to prison.
That's right, Aunt Selma. Your new boyfriend here framed Krusty the Clown for armed robbery.
Gee, if some snot-nosed little kid sent me to prison, the first thing out, I'd find out where he lives and tear him a new belly button.
Mr. Simpson, you're forgetting the first two noble truths of the Buddha.
I am not.
Yes, you are. One, existence is suffering. Two, the cause of suffering is desire. In this case, my desire to do high-quality children's programming.
And that's...
The voice is beautiful.
Yeah, I love Kelsey Grammer. I don't know. I never thought I'd love Kelsey Grammer again, because I hated Frasier so much. And I don't anymore, by the way. I've come around on it.
He seems like kind of a turd in real life.
Yeah.
Speaking of the return of Bob, I noticed in a lot of these late season 3 episodes, they're really calling back to their own continuity. We've seen a lot of previous references.
What I was going to point out. This is one of, I would say, a dozen points of continuity The Simpsons ever kept for the first 10 years.
That's right, yeah.
And it's the biggest. It's the only thing that shows you that time even moves on and there's a sequence to the episodes in The Simpsons for the most part, other than like Burns's head gift and...
With every Bob episode, they do recap every last instance, right?
Yeah.
Like, he did that.
And that's what makes this weird, because up until this point, I forget that Bob's crime was relatively meager. It is understandable that he could get out of jail in 2 years because it was armed robbery.
Yeah. Just armed robbery.
So Bart is still 10. Like, he's not 12 when he gets out, but you kind of have to just fudge those things. And so when he's telling his story, like when it gets to the Emmy, that's how you know The Simpsons had won an Emmy in the year in between. Yeah. So they had a lot of Emmy jokes. Like,
I was surprised they just kept it an Emmy. It was just like not even like a parody of the Emmys.
I love that whole sequence. I only clipped this 10 seconds from his description of the courtship of Selma. And
Dear Selma, Your latest letter set off a riot in the maximum security wing of my heart.
Okay. Ugh. That clip, Chris, that's one of three instances of women sinking into a tub in ecstasy. One is Marge, Rancho Alaska. Sorry, Rancho Relaxo. The other one is Edna reading Woodrow's letter. And this now is the third one in a row.
It sounds like that's the extent of what the Simpsons writers know about women.
Yes.
When a woman reads a letter, she's so turned on, she can't keep her head above water.
But seriously, women do masturbate in bathtubs. Just saying.
I think especially 30 years
that's
ago.
That's what jets are for. Mm-hmm.
And also, there was a couple of one-off jokes in there. The 24601 joke, that is the number of Jean Valjean in Les Miserables, and which it's this, he sings it in the musical, so I'm not so well read. I have not read the book. I just know that for the musical.
I just know the number. It's like the CalArts number.
24601.
It's like Homer before the voice change.
And also, Kelsey Grammer, 4 years before this episode aired, spent 30 days in jail for a DUI and cocaine possession in 1988.
Yeah, there's a lot of wrecked cars behind Kelsey Grammer.
He has real substance abuse issues.
I didn't know about that.
He fell
off a stage once on Disney World. It's one of the greatest videos on the internet.
Was he on coke or just like...
UN interpreter. Oh, good Lord.
And also he has a one-off joke. He says, a lifetime conservative Republican, which is also what I believe Kelsey Grammer's real-life politics
is. Yeah, he's very conservative.
But though clearly he can tell he's fine with joking around with the Simpsons, who are mostly liberal dudes, and it is... would then come to fruition in season 6 with Sideshow Bob Roberts.
That makes perfect sense, yeah.
Yes.
We see the same thing about the crowded prisons, the revolving door system,
But in the meantime, he does propose to Selma, like, the second after they're introduced as a couple.
If I did something bold and shocking in front of your family.
All right, but no tongues.
Although kissing you would be like kissing some divine ashtray. Mm. That's not what I had in mind. Selma, will you marry me?
Don't be a fool, Aunt Selma. That man is scum.
Then call me Mrs. Scum.
There are a lot of great Bob jokes that I feel are signaling to the audience, like he hates Selma. Like,
it doesn't happen as early as you think, though.
Yeah, I mean, he mentions later, like, God made 168 pounds of women, a woman for me, and then...
he said 41 years ago,
right.
God made 168 pounds of clay and made it into a woman. So, says her age and her weight, the two things you should never do, especially on her special day.
Added during his wedding speech, yeah.
Now, there's also...
Sorry, I blew that line. My fault.
There's a controversy... in this, for the writers in this episode, where Snake is in this. This is like his fourth appearance by this point, but it's where he is named Snake.
I'll miss you most of all.
I'll miss you most of all,
but
Snake.
He had always been Jailbird in the scripts, and he would still be Jailbird in the scripts. And some of the OG Simpsons writers were like, he's not Snake, he's Jailbird. We did not write that line to be said to Jailbird and call him Snake.
I feel like the animators were just pulling models out of a pack, like, yeah, he'll work.
So then in season 17, they finally reconcile this by making official name Snake Jailbird.
Thank
Wonderfully
God
dumb.
They sealed that hole.
It does lead me to a very weird scene, because, oh man, I love Krusty, and I love that Krusty is a proxy for every entertainment figure, just because he's the only one in Springfield who's not Ken Brockman.
That's right, yeah.
And so now he's Jerry Lewis, which I don't think he's been before, but he's hosting a telethon.
This is perfect. Now return to the 27th annual Krusty the Clown telethon for motion sickness.
Timpani! Woohoo! I love you people! I love my kids! Poor little guys. So tragic. So nauseous. You should see the bus they came to the studio in.
Just wanted to point, I never heard the word timpani until I got the sound effect.
The drum. So, like, this perfectly echoes the relationship between Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin, where Krusty is the silly one, and Sideshow Bob is, like, the more serious one who wants to do serious things with his life. But, you know, like...
ladies and gentlemen, the chairman...
Chairman of the board, you know what I'm talking about. And he is Frank
he
Sinatra.
He is Frank Sinatra. He's just never called Frank Sinatra. Bubbla, Krustaloo.
I think it's a parody of Chairman of the Board. I forget what they say, like the
no, they don't
chairman
say
of the
this
squad
is Frank
or whatever.
Yeah, they
no,
never.
He says, the chairman of the board, you know who I'm talking about. Come out here, you old Goomba.
Yeah, and I just can't tell, like, I don't know, The Simpsons doesn't do those kind of parodies usually of a direct character, but even though it's like he's
the chairman
of the board.
But it has to be Frank, because it's Frank who does introduce
who does reunite them.
So, yeah, I got the dates on this time.
Oh,
so,
cool.
So, you know, Martin and Lewis had been a comedy team. They were famous separate from each other in the 50s, well, Dean before the 50s.
On a stage level.
Yeah, but they then became a comedy duo of just the straight man and the goofball.
I do the singing.
I do the comedy!
But Dean...
Hey, Jerry, what you doing?
What you doing?
Eventually, they couldn't exist together. Like, they were two famous guys.
Egos, blah-bitty-blah.
I think it was really Lewis got all the attention because he was just a fucking Jim Carrey of his day. Really.
Well, Dean more than Jim Carrey. There is a documentary about Jerry Lewis that is fascinating because, like, we know him as this embarrassing clown, a Jim Carrey-esque, like, over-the-top person. And when you see these movies from the 1960s, he's, like, the only one who doesn't... Like, holy shit, no one else can do that.
Yeah.
And like, not only that unlike Jim Carrey, Lewis immediately used his stardom to become a director, to create his own studio, and to control his own projects.
Everything.
You don't hear about him today other than the day the clown cried, which the whole public can't wrap their head around. Like, why did one person who started a movie make it unseeable?
It's funny. Like,
Tom Cruise doesn't have that power.
Growing up in the 80s, the Jerry Lewis that I knew was the very self-serious one that was parodied on Animaniacs as Mr. Director. Super, super serious
but
guy.
Who he was. But he seized control of his career. I don't know if there's been someone more powerful who's made more money in the entertainment business than Jerry Lewis.
And still alive, crossing fingers he hasn't died before.
And he was on The Simpsons as Frank's father.
Everybody parodied in this scene. Dean Martin was dead before I was born. Frank Sinatra dead in 1989. Jerry Lewis still...
It was like 90s.
It would have been like 92 or something like that. Maybe 95, but like
old
Jerry
Lewis
is back. Still fucking alive and doing public appearances.
So they broke up in 1956. Mm. And then Jerry Lewis started doing his muscular dystrophy telethon, which he, I think, only recently quit. Quit hosting it.
Even like into his 70s, he would be there the whole time.
The whole time, because he did love those kids so much, and he would do it every Labor Day. September 5th, 1976, he is surprised on air 20 years after they'd broken up. Dean Martin comes out, and they're like, we're back together, and they just goof around and joke. But Dean is already not liking it. He's like, you're overshadowing me already. I hate this. But that moment was so big to children of the 70s that they've remade it so many times on The Simpsons.
They referenced it before this episode, too, and I forget which one it was. Maybe Bart the Daredevil it happened on or something like that.
I
forget what the context was, though.
No, it was on Father Like Clown, too. They did it through Krusty.
And again, people, we're not the old people. We barely remember this, too. This is through research that we're discovering
this.
We're
the children of the old people,
So them getting back together was great, though I guess it was all fake. Like, he definitely still hated Krusty. And then Sideshow
Mel.
Come
here, you old clown. Oh, I missed you.
This guy is a national treasure.
That jerk I got to replace you, he isn't fit to hold your slide whistle.
All I can be is myself.
Krusty, can you ever forgive me for framing you and putting you in jail?
Hey, if they ever open the books on this telethon, I'm right back in there.
So that's the first spoken line from Sideshow Mel. Before we heard him sing.
Yeah. But that was, it's so great. I love Sideshow Mel.
All I can be is myself.
And it looks like a Flintstones character.
Also, a little before this, the song they're doing karaoke, you can see every time Bob comes back, they get him to sing more. They just love him singing.
It's good. He's good at it.
Yeah, and the song they are duetting is Something Stupid, which was made famous by Frank Sinatra singing that with his daughter, Nancy, in 1967 in a hit song, which is kind of gross.
That is gross.
Yeah, it's a bit strange. But anyway,
documentary, The Wrecking Crew, is great just because, like, Frank Sinatra... Nancy Sinatra tells a story like, yeah, Frank wanted the song Boots Are Made for Walking. One of these days, these boots are going to... And Nancy Sinatra's like, that's not a man's song, you asshole. Yeah. Like, you can't sing that, Frank.
You can't sing about stomping on a woman.
Sing whatever I want, baby.
I'll do whatever I want, baby. I'm platinum.
Shut up.
Shut up, fraud.
What do you call it?
I could probably make a Frank Sinatra character and everybody in the world would believe it's unique because nobody remembers him. The biggest celebrity in the universe. I do have like two lines my favorite lines of the show occur in one of the next sequences, and that's during the wedding planning.
Oh yes.
Me too, Chris.
I'm giving it as a tie to both Homer and Selma.
the joke.
I'm thinking cocktail sauce, oh. Right?
And what would you like for appetizers?
Ooh, appetizers.
Well, Homer, you seem to be a trencherman. What should we serve?
Well, you can't go wrong with cocktail weenies. Mm. They taste as good as they look, and they come in this delicious red sauce. It looks like ketchup. It tastes like ketchup. But, brother, it ain't ketchup.
Oh, man.
Well, Selma, he makes a good case.
Get whatever you want. It all tastes like styrofoam to me.
Selma, dear, I'm confused.
Well, when I was a kid, we were playing with bottle rockets, and one shot straight up my nose. I permanently lost my sense of taste and smell.
Okay, we've got cocktail weenies and Swedish meatballs.
One, I never realized how white trash the dish is going to be for their wedding. And two, like, that is, I don't want to call it clumsy, but just like the Simpsons, there's a joke in everything in The Simpsons, just yeah. not with, this is establishing a
he
mystery
plot point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That Selma can't smell it. I'm not going to ruin the, I don't want to ruin the mystery for people, so I didn't capture any of that stuff.
Whenever I get cocktail sauce, I always think of that
good
line.
Brother.
Like,
yeah.
It ain't ketchup.
I love that Homer loves the tacky food served yeah. at like middle class weddings.
Yeah.
And also, I did look it up. Trencherman is a hearty eater. Defined as a hearty eater by
wow.
the Webster.
Wow, so it's like a fancy insult.
Yeah.
We
nice.
Also learned that Selma is a virgin. Marge's asking.
No, she's not.
No.
Really? No, that's the joke. She's saying, so I don't know yeah. how to say this. And she's like, white. Okay,
yeah.
I'll just. She's saying, we're going to have it white. Don't tell me I can't have white.
I assume that she's a virgin based on the cutscene that happens at the end of the episode that was never aired.
Oh,
I swear,
we'll get to that.
It's from another show. I feel like there was a joke. If that the show was being made today, I was expecting a joke about breaking her hymen on a carnival ride.
Oh, Jesus.
But
I think it's from another show.
My take on it, Henry, though was that she was ashamed of being a virgin, so she just wanted to clear the air.
No.
No, it's white. It's fine. Like, I can't imagine anyone fucking Selma up to this
point. No.
That is an old 80s joke, by the way.
I think it's, knowing old comedy, the joke is, well, you shouldn't wear white because you're not a virgin.
You're not
and
a
they're
virgin.
Like, I'm going to wear white. But
I was thinking also, of the critic joke, white except for the gloves.
Love that joke.
That is the dirtiest joke. In that whole
it
show
is, yeah.
but it also canonically she is definitely not a virgin because in the way we was she they say oh these are the dates Marge gets because she doesn't put out implying that both Patty and Selma were putting out though Patty was putting out for some for a
political reason
another gender. Yeah.
But also I swear to God my other line of the show Jesus
that's the joke
Selma this wedding is spinning out of control can we really afford it I've already run through $8 of the $10 they gave me when I left prison.
Hey, relax. I told you I got money. I bought stock in a mace company just before society crumbled.
That's great. It perfectly plays into the cynicism of Patty and Selma. Yeah. It's great. Like, I feel like these characters go really underused after this season. They are so often background characters in season 3 that I feel like they just went unused after this. They only popped up in episodes about them, really.
The Simpsons will be right back.
Howdy, y'all. Today we have a very countrified episode of our favorite show, The Simpsons. You want to know how you can avoid being a hayseed hick? I'll tell you what, a good pair of socks. Yes, a good pair of socks, baby. And that's because this show is brought to you by Bombas, Bombas Socks. They have a sock for you that has been carefully created to improve on years of socks complacency in the industry. It's, I swear to God, a better toe fit, a better grip. It feels lighter, more comfortable. Bombas has spent 2 years in research and development in order to help bring you a better sock at a better price. Everything from advanced blister protection on the heels, a technology that helps the sock stay up instead of a creepy-ass sock guard. Bombas has innovated the sock, and I know how silly that sounds, but it's true. Even better, for every pair of socks you buy, one pair is given to the homeless. And there's a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Should you have any problem, Bombas will send you new socks and offer you a full refund. And yes, Talking Simpsons fans, you can get 20% off your first Bombas orders by going to getbombas.com/lasertime. It is just that simple. Why not head to the website, poke around a bit, see if it's right for you, and we'll scamper on back to the show. You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
There was this journalism class. Lights were always low.
Yeah.
And
I like it.
And like trying so hard to stay awake. And finally my head does the full on like, and I go back and smash the fuck out of the monitor behind me. and send up a pigpen level of dust off of the monitor.
Oh, there's a domino effect of like all the monitors.
No,
wonderful.
But like the teacher turns around and it's like, if he couldn't echolocate whose head hit the thing, all he had to do is turn around and look at like, okay, like everything's normal. There's a huge cloud of dust around one person.
The guy with the halo around
him. Yes, and I was just like, sorry.
Get bonus time, Laser Time's weekly, full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again.
And so this was the reveal of his last name is Terwilliger.
Terwilliger, yeah.
There is some disagreement online about where it's from. There's no one source, but it is the name of a Portland street, so I'm going with that one.
Yeah, like half the characters in The Simpsons. Yeah.
Flanders, Quimby.
Kearney, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it's not the name of a Matt Groening family member, then it's a name of a Portland street because he grew up in Portland. And yeah, so I'm going with that. So the MacGyver thing was great meta-commentary because the episode becomes MacGyver at the end.
A little bit,
so.
Yeah.
Give some of that honey this way. Holy free holies! We've got 10 minutes to MacGyver. Driver, here's a fin. Get me home and don't spare the whip.
Whatever you say, Mom.
Of course I'm going to get a Barney burping clip.
Yes.
The MacGyver... It's hard.
It would be over in a couple months.
In a couple, as a kid though, it went for like 7 or 8 seasons. So by the time I was aware there was live action television, MacGyver was on throughout my entire, let's call it, pop culture woke
this
period.
This is April 92. It will be over in May 92 forever.
Really?
Yes.
Yep.
I looked it up.
I remember when that happened.
Though it's coming back. It's a reboot.
It's coming back.
With
a little weird kid with long hair. Yeah.
I do love the MacGyver diversion. Bob being so pissed off.
It's
great. David Silverman directed this episode. Great. David Silverman poses.
And I just love this because, you know, you live with somebody you... I've had a couple things with my lady that you just shut up about and endure because you know she does that for you and you don't have this kind of argument.
Thank you, Senor MacGyver. You've saved our village.
Don't thank me. Thank the moon's gravitational pull.
That's the perfect MacGyver line.
That MacGyver's a genius.
First of all, he's not a genius. He's an actor. And second, he's not much of an actor.
You're lying. You're lying!
No, Selma, this is lying. That was a well-plotted piece of non-claptrap that never made me want to retch.
Just when I saw...
He was so mean.
I can't describe this to make it sound important, but I did think MacGyver was a thing that was always on the air, because that's the way it had seemed to me, and that joke would last forever. That we're doing a show where I have to explain to people what MacGyver might be.
This was pointed out in Homer Alone, I think, this element of their lives, and I think it just really reflects their ultimate mediocrity as people. Like, Patty and Selma are the most mediocre, boring
aspire to
people
very
ever.
Little.
And that's why they like MacGyver so much. It was the most mediocre show on TV at the time.
But yeah, that animation
MacGruber,
of like,
by the way, really great.
Really good.
But the way Bob is animated, just like so restlessly sitting, of just
makes
like re-moving. When they're watching the end of it, he's just like recrossing his arms, moving again.
I love him just like glancing over at them, like, are you serious? You're still watching this?
You like this?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to imagine a world without an internet connected phone. Hey, watch this thing you don't like for an hour with a lot of commercials.
Okay, now, so knowing how it ends, knowing how the episode ends, do you think that he actually couldn't stand MacGyver and he was about to ruin his plan by breaking up with her and MacGyver? Or was his plan already to not like MacGyver to then set up a reason to leave, which would later become his alibi?
I don't know, and the only note I have on this is that like I wasn't expecting... a mer-diddly erdler, because like this scene was so genuine, like a genuine couple's argument of someone of Bob wanting to stay in love with a person and make something work, because like other than a murder plot, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
yes, like, I agree, Chris. Like I love this episode. It's it's funny. I like the mystery, but Bob's motivation doesn't make any sense because I feel like killing Selma, Bart wouldn't care. Like, I think Marge or Homer would love it, actually. Marge would be broken up, but why does Bob care about Marge's feelings? Like, I don't get why he wants to kill Selma outside of just him being a psychopath.
No, this is about money. He wants... This one is for money.
Okay.
It's only after this does he...
No, but was it the May stock that he wants, or what?
Yeah,
it's just this sequence.
We're a package. Love me. Love MacGyver. I guess the wedding's off.
Selma, I don't know what to say.
Just tell me you like MacGyver.
Very well, I...
Oh, I love this.
I can't do it! Even that car chase seemed tacked on!
Oh, would you two knock it off? I hate all the programs Marge likes, but it's no big deal. You know why?
No.
Go on.
Whenever Marge puts on one of her non-violent programs, I take a walk. I go to a bar, I pound a few, then I stumble home in the mood for love.
So that's what...
That's really
basically
dark.
Homer offered advice to the murder plot.
Yeah.
And so that I don't want to overanalyze it.
You're right,
it.
Chris. Like, Bob does leave while she watches MacGyver.
That was the plan.
I mean, that is part of his plan, though. Maybe he just altered his plan to like, oh, okay, I'll just make this work within
but
the
But as
plan.
A kid, still, no idea. No idea anything's going to happen, that anything's different.
About the money motivation, Henry, I do think they should have laid in more of that, because I feel like even watching this the 40th time, it was never clear like that was what he wanted, you know?
But this is also the last time you could think Bob had gotten better, because because every later time you're like, well, yeah, you're crazy, and then that's why they could do the opposite of this in the Sideshow Cecil episode,
which should have been the last Bob episode.
They really should never
have. I think it was meant to be the last Bob episode,
and in that one it was the reverse of like, no, he did clean up his act and no one does believe
him. And it was a great twist that his brother, spoilers, was the actual psychopath.
I can't wait for that episode. But anyway, so they get married, they do the wedding. I like the bit with Lisa being jealous of the flower girl, which I swear was not on the version
cut
I taped
out,
off.
Cut out in syndication. I'm positive it was. Because it's one, if it just had ended of Lisa being jealous of the flower girl, but then it goes on a little too long.
Was Lisa jealous of Maggie?
Yeah, Lisa being jealous. I could be a better flower girl. I'm not going to fall down all the time. My favorite, I almost got Chief Wiggum, but it's too visual to play here.
Chief Wiggum, you've been around. You don't trust Sideshow Bob, do you?
Ah, lighten up, son. If he was going to commit a crime, would he have invited the number one cop in town? Now, where did I put my gun? Oh, yeah. I set it down when I got a piece of cake.
His IQ is dropping precipitously.
It's a new level of incompetence for him. Because he has to be that stupid for the stuff to work in this episode. And also the Krusty do something funny thing on video, that was from one of the writers of the show at a wedding. Gary Shandling was at his wedding, and they're like, Gary, do something funny. And he didn't do something that funny on it, and it was just him being troubled of like, hey, comedian at this wedding, be funny on the spot right now. Like,
it was funny to see Krusty just being a normal guy and trying to get through it.
10-inch pianist. That is pretty funny.
We do get two really important Sideshow Bob sound effects. One is does he end the act on this crazy laugh? The first Sideshow Bob laugh, which would become a staple, and then later we see
it's his second one, because the second act break on Krusty Gets Busted also is him laughing.
Right.
Like he's like, crying.
Okay, you're right. Yeah. This feels more like his signature laugh. But then we also have the shudder later, which we'll get to.
Oh, the shudder. Love it. But yeah, so as a kid, I was definitely shocked of like, he's evil. He's still evil. Even though they revealed him.
It was still surprising in 1992.
So when he sends, for plot purposes, they have to send the VHS of their honeymoon to them, but that must have been like overnight or something. Unless
it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Unless he's killing her like a week into it.
It does make sense in now world.
Yeah.
Yes.
You could absolutely see someone's honeymoon the second it's happening, but
well, we know that Patty and Selma have maternity leave they're not going to use, so that could be like a month-long vacation at whatever.
He's going to kill her that late.
I do love
into
the fucking
it.
Rolling
like, kill her
boulder
the first
thing.
Week.
Is he?
That's right, dear. Enjoy your rest. The wedding was very tough on you, and the honeymoon is going to be murder.
Google alert happening in the background.
So I'm with
Apologies.
I'm with Al Jean that him having the sex couldn't have been that hard.
Yeah, it was
Selma,
a little mean.
Right?
Like, as time has passed, I feel like the jokes at Patty and Selma's expense are a little mean spirited. Like, let them just be boring and gross.
It's they can't draw them to be as grotesque as I think the writers want them to be.
Yeah.
Because that wouldn't make much sense. But I do love that they're unfuckable goons meant for one another. I love that about them.
I do like their negativity more than the jokes about them having hairy legs.
Yeah, they're
like
unattractive from every level. And it's great to have characters like that.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, they're horrible people, but also
they're the worst.
But they also have to keep making jokes about, like, well, they have facial hair. They smell horrible. They have disgusting feet.
Out of weight. Their hair sucks. Their taste is terrible.
Their apartment
is the worst.
Disgusting. They have blackheads. Like, all these things. But so him, it is such a great writery joke of all the ways he threatens her while rubbing her feet. Oh,
yes.
Beautiful. Yeah. Like, do you not have that?
No, I didn't. You're absolutely right.
It's like three languages to get out of.
Like,
that's
Sanskrit for "I'm going to kill you." What's that? Like, oh, you know, MacGyver's going to be on soon.
I'm not kidding. Like, just if you haven't seen this in a while, it is fun to watch as a mystery. It's very Encyclopedia Brownie.
It looks good. Like, it's a great looking show. Like, so much is happening at night with all kinds of great colors that you really don't see that often.
David Silverman is so good. His direction and his team is so good in this one. Like, even the little things, like the Cool Hand Luke reference when in the story of him being in jail, like just the way he crumples the cup in his hand when he picks
really
it up,
good.
It's just beautiful.
And there's one particular scene we'll get to later that is so perfect for this episode. Just the tension of possible murder.
Mm-hmm. So when Bart realizes it's the what's going to happen.
On MacGyver, 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 MacGyver.
Sorry, I only wanted the
I love
guy
that
report.
Also, I love Bart's head popping into frame with this crazy expression.
Though when he retells the story, there's some continuity errors there. Because he realizes this surrounded by the whole family, but then when he's explaining it in the flashback to Homer, it's just with Homer. Four jokes about how stupid Homer is. That's why
so
Homer,
like,
has to be alone.
There is like a diagram, there's a puppet show, there's like Bart turning on the stove.
He makes it clear, like, I told him after trying to explain to him four different ways how it is, I then told Mom once and we then left.
Great tiny joke to the Simpsons mobile.
Yeah, with the explosion backfiring out of their car.
I love how dumb Homer is, but he immediately becomes heroic. Like, let's go!
We're doing it! And then, of course, the series' second ever psycho reference of the turning of the chair back around.
Oh, right,
you were having such a lovely evening. And then I went and spoiled it all by doing something stupid like explode you.
Sideshow Bob, I'm afraid the only victims here are the good people at Best Western Hotels.
Again, their honeymoon is at a Best Western.
It's completely visual, but we totally missed the Selma, like, pulling the cigarette out, holding the match up in the air.
Really
like, every
good.
Amazing shot of her just striking the match and nearly,
it is,
like, yeah.
If you want to talk about...
And Bart running in and grabbing her hands, too.
The kind of stuff the Simpsons won't do today.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And I never mentioned it, but, like, I cut it out during the sound effects, but... Homer, like, showing how he would cut a person who put him in jail over and over in
like
front of Bart's eyes. It's
pulling
like
the knife
that's
up.
The kind of thing that the modern Simpsons lacks. It's very, very nice visual
those
joke.
Little touches,
And also, I did love when he says, do you got time? You got room in your prison for a two-time loser? Well, no, frankly, but they never stopped us before. It's so great.
Lots of wonderful veiled jokes at the prison system, including, of course, the last one, which I loved the most.
I'll be back. You can't keep the Democrats out of the White House forever. And when they get in, I'm back on the streets with all my criminal buddies.
So
this music.
Cape Fear would air in the fall of 1993 when Bill Clinton was in the office. So he did get out of prison once the Democrats were there.
We wouldn't meet Birch Barlow to way after this?
Oh, yeah. That'd be
going to take us another year to get to Birch Barlow?
Mm-hmm. And also this... Bob episode.
Too much blood on the knob.
This Bob episode ends with a fun callback to Krusty Gets Busted. Because, so when Bart saves Krusty, you know, they say, like, oh, we're sorry, Krusty, it'll never happen again. They says, well, there was one little boy who never lost faith in me.
Oh,
thank you, Bart. Marge ends this one with, Bob fooled everybody, but there was one little boy who never lost his sense of distrust.
Yeah, I love that line.
It's, you're right, that's an excellent call.
And we did miss how they still had the room explode, but it was because of Wiggum. All right, the gas. Like, he throws a match behind him.
Gas. It's like, why did the room explode?
The reason why we don't have clips of that is because, like, to this episode's credit, it's visually great. Especially during these sequences.
It is a gorgeous episode. Yeah. And by the way, I was just at Comic-Con, and I was told I might get to interview David Silverman. It fell through, but geez. I so wanted to talk to him. Maybe
I would have a billion questions. Like, I would annoy the hell out of him.
I know.
There's one cut scene. This episode was supposed to end with Patty and Selma together. Patty asking Selma, so how was it? Yes. And Selma says, it would have been worth it even if he had blown me to bits. So that leads you to believe that she did lose her virginity on that honeymoon.
All right.
Please. Wow. I'm a Selma virginity truther, as we talked about our other trutherness on other episodes. So.
One of my favorite lines, I forgot to get it, was like, you tried to kill me. I want a separation.
Yeah.
And his the shudder after having sex, that is the one they reuse for the rakes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The same, or they just told him to do it again, but it is so perfectly the same shudder that I think they just reused the
I think on the commentary they just said they pulled that, and that's what you hear 20 times, and we'll get to it in like six months.
Oh god. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this was a great return of Bob, the start of the Bob series of episodes.
Yeah, I think it might be at an even 10 or 12 at this point.
I guess.
I cashed out around 17, 18.
I love the sense of one. Yeah. Oh, really, Cousin Merle?
I mean, I did.
Young gone to heaven.
I did watch the one, the Italian Bob, which was kind of fun.
That's the last one I saw. I believe Bart was being like in a coffin about to be burned alive.
The last one I saw, if we're talking Sideshow Bob, is the Universal Studios ride where he is the main villain. It's
no Harry
wonderful.
Shearer, but you get Sideshow Bob.
Mm-hmm. Still need to ride that.
And yeah. I mean, it does make sense. Like Sideshow Bob sabotaging things in Krusty World. That's Krusty Land. That's the It's the perfect way to set up a the ride's gone wrong thing that happens in
every ride. And I feel like the writers love Bob because he's like another Burns. Like, let's write flowery dialogue for this like stuck up character.
Let's use all those Harvard words we never get to use. And,
you love the ride. Bob, every character is all CG.
Grad school
wonderful.
Finally paid off. Really?
Oh,
they're
all
CG? I don't want to ride
it's
anymore.
It's honestly great.
You'll love it.
Okay.
Also just love being around Springfield.
And especially if you're a nerd, because they hollowed out and scooped out the guts of Back to the Future ride, but get Christopher Lloyd to reprise his role as Doc Brown.
Really?
Or one-off
I mean, it's something that I will not go off on this, but every time Disney gets rid of a beloved ride, they leave a mark or a piece of it behind.
Oh, neat.
For example, I love Country Bears, and you go to Disneyland, and it's replaced by Winnie the Pooh ride. If you turn around immediately when you go on the ride, you can see the old robot heads.
Oh, wow.
You go into Winnie the Pooh in Disney
on
World. You see like something that looks like a knot in the wood, and it's the shape of the Nautilus that used to be there. Universal hadn't done that because it just scraped the world of their rides.
Well, they lose the rights.
Yeah, they lose the rights. Like, but Christopher Lloyd is there, and like it's a bummer to see Back to the Future ride go. But it is a 2.5 minute ride, and it's on the DVD, the Blu-ray and DVD.
And I did ride that one at least while it was still on.
Yeah.
So I have that.
Yeah. It's a ride that no longer exists anywhere. Until a few months ago, it was in Osaka, but that is closed
now.
Not
true. I actually met one of the guys who worked on the ride, Buddy Dave. Mm-hmm. The ride is built, you know, this like stupid little carnival. It looks like a piece of a monorail that's on a rod that can be lifted and has a TV screen.
It's like a mechanical bulb with a car on top of it.
Yeah, he said it was tragic because they destroyed every DeLorean because a collector market can't exist in a capitalist economy if you can't make the money off of it, so you destroy these things. But they could port that to any park in the world.
They can do that, but I mean the ride with the DeLorean the Institute
with a 30-minute Biff and Doc Brown lead up.
Yeah,
is,
all that stuff's gone.
But the Simpsons, and I would complain more if the Simpsons area wasn't so cool.
It looks beautiful.
And I've never been to the Florida one, and I haven't been to the revamped one in
Hollywood. Yeah, Bob,
but it was still pretty great.
Why don't the three of us just plan a trip together to Universal Hall?
I'm totally down. We can do a podcast there.
Yeah,
video
we can maybe
something.
Record a little bit of a video.
Yeah. I mean, the Springfield of Orlando is so lovely.
Yeah, if I can just say that,
videos look awesome.
I do believe part of why the Back to the Future ride was fun for me as a young lad was that there's a 30 the ride it's the videos on the DVD the ride it is
and,
2.5 minutes.
Doc Brown stuff too,
but the Doc Brown lead up and the line cue stuff is original footage with Tom Wilson and Christopher Lloyd. And it's great. And it's all on the DVD, too. But it's all stuff you see in the line. So what you see in the line, no matter how long the Simpsons ride line is, it's just Simpsons clips. It's Robot Chicken style Simpsons clips of every time they've been to a theme park fair or any kind of public event.
When you're in the Quickie Mart, they're showing only clips from Quickie Mart.
I want that in every line.
When you're in the restaurants, they're showing clips from restaurants. Mm-hmm. And they clearly, like, I bet for licensing reasons, they're like, you only get up to season 10, but that's only what I want anyway.
It's only what anyone wants.
And I've only been recently able to confirm because I went there twice because, let's say, Universal... It ain't Disney. I call it the island of misfit IP. None of it is related to one another.
Can I go on the Backdraft ride still?
Yeah, there's a Waterworld show still at Universal's Hollywood. Yikes. Insane. The Blues Brothers will come out and greet you in front of Shrek Land, in front of Curious George, a bunch of stuff. Like, it's impossible to like all of this.
Nobody, a mystery machine.
Yeah,
and
nobody likes
Simpsons.
All of this. What we saw the first time he went there is like there's that tchotchke of like the customized license plates with your name on it. And of course, there's a Bort, and there. And every time I went, it was empty, and I thought that was just part of the joke. And it took like a year. Like, oh, you can actually buy Bort license plates there, but
man.
They sell out within moments. Moments of being put out, people buy the Bort license plates.
I assume they just never make them as part of the joke.
Everything with a customized name has a Bort.
I was very lucky to get a Bort.
Oh wow, Bort, you have a Bort?
Damn. It was beautiful. But anyway.
Yes, thanks so much for joining us, people. That was Black Widower, one of the greatest episodes of season 3, I think. I've been Bob Mackey, your host. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also host the Classic Gaming Podcast, Retronauts. You can find that at usgamer.net or retronauts.com every Monday. And I also write for somethingawful.com every other Thursday, so check that stuff out over there.
Wow! Bob Mackey!
Oh my god, it's been
real loud. Jesus.
Literal tens of episodes since I've heard that. I need that every episode, Chris. Please.
Chris Antista. I'm Cantista on Twitter. I don't think I've said anything in weeks. But I do say a lot of stuff on podcasts like Laser Time, where we usually pick a pop culture topic. Run with that on 302010, which is a wonderful little portal into that week in history. 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago. We talk about a lot of 9/11 talk in a recent episode. It's very strange.
Whoa.
And you wouldn't think so.
Yeah,
but,
wait a minute.
Yeah, find out why. Two episodes in a row, I will say, Brett and I... One of our personal favorite movies. We didn't realize we were released a week apart.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And we talked in a very long fashion about them and even wrote about them on lasertimepodcast.com, where you can find that all of the shows and this one grouped together with any pertinent links and all that stuff.
And I am HENEREYG on Twitter. You can follow me there. And I write for fandom.wikia.com. That is my job. But I still am part of the Lasertime family on this stuff, and I'll appear on other podcasts here and there. But you should really know that this podcast is brought to you by patreon.com/lasertime, in case we haven't mentioned it
you
before.
You made it happen, and so everybody there who made it happen has exclusive access to the first season of Talking Simpsons. 13 episodes are there waiting for you.
Just for $5 a month, though, for $10 a month.
Did you say let Blacksmithers be your guide?
The Blacksmithers is your guide. If you scroll back,
to find him now.
Yeah.
Though, but.
No, I can link to an article with them all.
Oh, cool.
Well, they might have to do another one of those, because even now that one's probably like a dozen deep into our posts. But anyway, yeah, that support makes this all worthwhile, and every dollar counts. So thank you very much for all that. I definitely ran into some Lasertime fans at Comic-Con.
Oh, cool.
And
nice.
So thanks, everybody. We love doing it.
Cool. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week when Bart goes to see Spinal Tap. Later.
Infotainment.